Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And as this new year begins, we know we're still in the middle of a realignment, the great resignation, the big quit, the radical reshuffle, that thing. People left jobs during the pandemic, didn't want to come back to workplaces even if they kept jobs. But a Gallup poll that came out last year made us sit up straight. It showed 6 in 10 Americans were quiet quitting, working just enough to pass muster. 2/3 of American workers were unhappy with their jobs, and 50% of workers were looking for a new job. Well, before you do that, do you know where you belong? Are you a nomad who likes to move a lot? A sedentist who doesn't? A pastoralist who stays for a while, then moves on? Careers, climbing the ladder, we know that is so yesterday. But have you done what's called narrative career construction? In other words, have you asked, as the poet Mary Oliver did, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Frequent Here and Now guest Bruce Feiler addresses those questions in his book, The Search, Finding Meaningful Work in a Post-Career World. It's a roadmap so you don't end up in the same kind of job you are leaving. Last June, Bruce joined us to talk about it. In your last bestseller, Life is in the Transitions, you talk about this notion, life is not linear, work isn't either. We know young people aren't thinking of traveling in a straight line to the 50 years of service in a gold watch. But it's more than that. How would you sum up this moment? And what are the three lies we are telling ourselves about work?
So let's take the first one first. You know, why are so many people unhappy with what they're doing? And I think that the short answer to that, Robin, is that the makeup of the workforce is changing, and the penalty for rejecting the traditional linear career model has been erased. And as a result, people are just no longer prepared to accept the outdated idea that work is supposed to make you miserable. Mm-hmm. I mean, my work, as you know, for the last number of years has been focused on how people can make their lives happier and more meaningful. For 6 years now, I have traveled across the country collecting life stories of hundreds of Americans of all backgrounds, all 50 states. I mean, we're talking teachers and welders and cops and spies, I mean, from CEOs to activists. And what I heard time and again is that the old rules of success were written at a time when most people in the workforce all looked the same.
Yeah.
I mean, as you know, and I opened this book with this analysis of the most prominent books about work, How to Win Friends and Influence People, to What Color is Your Parachute? And 93% of the people in those books were straight white men.
Yeah.
And when you talk to today's workers who are younger, majority female, increasingly diverse, what you discover is that they don't play by the same old rules, and they want happiness. They want meaning, balance, flexibility, and they are prepared, and this gets to what you said in the intro, they are prepared to quit a job to get what they want, which is why 50 million Americans quit a job in the last year. That's 1/3 of the workforce, Robin. 100 million Americans will sit down with someone they love and say, honey, I'm not happy with what I'm doing, and I want to do something that makes me happy. But what has been missing in this space is exactly what you said, which is a roadmap for how to identify what makes you happy. And that's what I've tried to do in The Search.
Okay, and there's just so much here. You have a whole wonderful chapter on the history of work, including in the 1950s, there was this quasi-science approach to hiring. White-collar applicants were tested to match them with jobs for life. And you write, half the companies in the U.S. also screened their wives, who were not working, to make sure that they had the right hire. Oh, my gosh, that's like science fiction right there. But now, as you say, it's do-it-yourself with a new language. Work quake. I feel I've had a few of those.
You embody this story. I mean, just thinking about your work life that we've all learned about over the years from listening to you. But yeah, so this gets to the second question you asked at the outset, which is the three lies. So the core of what we're talking about here, right? The core of my work is helping people, I would say, give themselves permission to do what they want to do, not what they feel that they're expected to do, right? Get off the should train, folks, right? You know, I should do this or I should do that. And the biggest should train of all is that you should, quote, follow your passion, like pick a career early. I could never stop until you reach the top. Few ideas have squandered more human potential. So what are the three lies? Lie number one, you have a career. This idea was invented a century ago in Boston, by the way, as it happens. At this moment, when a third of the country left rural areas for cities, millions more joined them from overseas. And the idea was once in your early 20s, but by the way, only if you were a man, you picked a career and you stuck with it. And everything that we've talked about has been linear, right? The corporate ladder, the career track, even the resume. You talked about the 1950s. The resume was invented in the 1950s. Each job was supposed to be bigger and better than the last. And that sort of, you know, stigmatizes spending time with family, you know, doing public service for a time, starting something that may succeed or may fail. Which brings us to the question you just asked. Because the second lie is that you have a path.
Yeah.
My data show that the average person goes through 20 what I call work quakes in the course of their lives. That's every 2.5 years. So what is a work quake? It's a moment. It's a jolt, some sort of disruption where you either are forced to or you choose to kind of rethink or reimagine what you do. And by the way, to the point we were discussing earlier,
right,
women go through them more than men, mm-hmm, millennials more than Xers, and you know, Gen Z more than millennials. So their number is only going to grow. But here's what I think is the signature piece of data in the search, Robin, and that is that, you know, 45% of work quakes begin in the workplace, right? So something happens, you have a conflict with your boss, say, or your company shuts down, or you get laid off. But that means the majority of work quakes, 55%, occur outside the workplace. Something happens in your family, or you have a health crisis, right? Or you just simply have a change of mind or a change of heart, as we saw coming out of the pandemic. So what that means is in the battle between life and work, life is playing a greater and greater role. And that is the change. And when you're not stigmatized by getting off of the career track, then you can make a change for no other reason than you simply want to make a change.
Yeah, but you have a whole list, and we can't go through it now in the time we have, but all these things, you know, doing a meaning audit, all these questions to ask yourself so that you know yourself better. It's not climbing up, as you say, it's digging deep. It's digging into yourself to figure out, okay, maybe that wasn't the job that was so awful. It just didn't work for me, but what am I? Who am I? What do I want? So there's a lot of that. But a couple questions.
Please.
You say most people told you money did not at all factor into their decisions to leave and go find some other work. But the new Gallup...
It's not at all. It's just that it's not the only factor, is I guess the way I would characterize it.
And it was a smaller one, like a smaller percentage. Most people wanted more meaning. So the money didn't mean as much. But the Gallup poll said money was, you know, one of the number one reasons. So either way, you don't talk as much. You talk an extraordinary amount about this wonderfully inspired, you know, these wonderfully inspiring stories, people's stories of, I was so afraid, I stepped off this ledge and then look what happened, that kind of thing. But what about that paralyzing fear? How can I make a change? I have to make a change. My health is suffering. My head is suffering.
Yep.
But I'm supporting this many people. What do you do about that?
So I think that a couple of things here. So let me kind of restate what you said in that introduction, which is what I think is the thing to underscore here. So the big change is that fewer people are searching merely for work and more people are searching for work with meaning. The question is, what is it that gives you meaning? Like, the number one thing I've learned in this project is the people who are happiest, they don't just climb, right? The story we've been telling in this country is up by your bootstraps, rags to riches, right? Higher floor, bigger office, greater salary, better view. But the people who are happiest and most fulfilled don't just climb, they dig. As you said, they do what I call a meaning audit, okay? So here you're in a work quake. This is you or someone you know is in one right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what is most meaningful? So you mentioned that I have these 21 questions to find work you love. Let's just take one of those questions, Robin. I'm in a moment in my life when, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It could be I'm in a moment in my life when I need to make money because I have to pay off my student loans, or in my case, I'm about to send two kids to college, or you know what? My child has an anxiety disorder and they can't work and I need to support them. That's hallelujah. This is what made the country great. But that's not the only question, and that's the difference from the past, right? So I'm in a moment in my life when I want to spend time with my family, or my mother has chemo, or I'm in a moment when I've been doing the same thing for 20 years and I want to go
just know what you're doing.
Fight the climate or whatever.
Just know what you're doing. There's a whole chapter on deferring dreams, but don't get rid of that hope dream. There's so much more. Best-selling author Bruce Feiler, the new book is The Search, Finding Meaningful Work in a Post-Career World. Bruce, thanks.
My pleasure.